This is CliffCentral.com.
CliffCentral.com, a Wednesday morning. We're all here. We're live. We're ready to share a bunch of interesting stuff with you, and you can call us, obviously. If you want to send us a message or a voice note or whatever it is, 0797482090. So you can get hold of us. By the way, I didn't give you the price, but Bitcoin's over $12,600 this morning. And Ethereum at 336. Isn't that great? Is right.
I was reading an article about Facebook's Libra and how they're really just promoting it and saying this is going to change the industry and bring more people
and
into the crypto
world.
Look
at what it's done.
True, because of its popularity.
Well, we've got a regular feature on a Monday with Revix. They're a brilliant new business. They started just a short while ago, and they are offering people the opportunity to buy into a cryptocurrency index, which essentially will rebalance itself monthly, but they'll bring in all the cool cryptocurrencies, all the ones that are doing really well, and it's a much safer way to play in the cryptocurrency universe if you want to go and try them. That's Revix, and you can find out more by going to find their feature on cliffcentral.com. I think we've done five of them so far. Apparently, they've had over 450 signups.
That's awesome.
In 5 weeks, which is phenomenal.
Yeah.
So clearly, you know, this is the right audience for cryptocurrency.
People
got some smart people listening here. All right, you know, we've been talking about these discussions that you have with people where they're not honest and they don't say what they mean, where people use words that they don't intend to use, they don't think about it, and those words have real power. And we're trying to be more honest and develop trust in our language. I think it's good for everybody to learn to be more effective at communication.
Straight up,
right?
It's my jam, dude.
And there's so many things people say that you can tell that they're not telling the truth. and it just drives me crazy. So we got talking about this because of Coronation's Seen and Unseen ad campaign, which is in the airports, where they've got pictures of people doing stuff, but when they zoom out from the frame of the picture, you can see they're actually not doing what they say. So, like, for example, there's this woman doing a headstand and yoga pose, but her friend's holding up her feet.
So it's cropped like a photo, but
correct.
You can see what's in the outside
correct.
Of the photo.
Yeah. Very clever campaign, and it's called The Seen and Unseen. And it's people basically humble bragging on Instagram.
Mm.
But essentially, we do this in our language all the time. So I've heard these things a million times. I want your comments on them. When people say to you, "I'm just getting one drink and then I'll be home," of course, doesn't ever mean that. It means I'm going to have a big night.
Oh, yes. I don't even like having one drink. I'd rather have no drinks
than
one.
Yeah, it's like dipping your toe into the water.
Yeah.
So rather just...
Right.
That's a lie. That's a complete lie. We all know.
And this one, I'm almost there. I'm just around the corner.
Just tell me that you're going to be 25 minutes.
Right.
So I now have
then
both
my hands
Then I
can go do
up.
Something else for...
I'm almost there. I'm 5 minutes away. Meanwhile, you're 20 minutes away.
And I used to have a friend that would always tell you they were like... about to arrive, and they never actually were. My ex-girlfriend's brother, so irritated.
I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of, I'm leaving the house now. That means, yeah, no, I'm still inside.
And because of cell phones, we can do this. Before, you had to honor your word and say, "I'll be there at one," and you'd be there at one, and there was no way to get hold of someone before cell phones to check whether they were still coming or not. I mean, the other day I had a meeting with somebody. I still haven't heard back from them. It was in the diary, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I said to them, "See you then." This was a week before. On the day, I sent them an email at like 12 saying, "Seeing you at 1, didn't get a reply. They never pitched for the meeting at 1, and I still haven't heard from them. Now, that's just crazy. And that drives me mad, but then I get uptight about these things. How about this one? And because, again, of cell phones. "I'm just about to drive into the basement, or I'm about to hop in a lift. I'm about to get in my car. Can I call you back?" That means... I've got to end this conversation.
Okay, well,
now.
I sometimes actually legitimately do say that. Like, I don't like getting in the lift while I'm talking on my phone in case it cuts out, but also because there might be like four people in the lift and I think it's like
rude
to sit and have a chat. I mean, it's urgent and I've got to go down three floors, whatever. It's not the end of the world for me, but I do say to someone, "Hey, look, like I've been standing outside a lift for 5 minutes. I want to get in." And I'll say to someone, "I might lose you in the basement." But Yeah, I think it is a pretty good excuse to get off the phone.
Yeah, to me, I instantly see it as a sign of, okay, this conversation is done. Because I also use, okay, so I'm about to get into a meeting right now, so I just got to go.
Right.
I mean, I just go with a more ambiguous but true direct route of like, hey, look, I really can't talk right now. Can I give you a call later? Like, you don't have to create a justification.
Oh,
you
sure.
can be vague. It's like, hey,
you're technically true. Yeah. You're technically true.
Yeah,
I can't talk right now.
There's no need to lie.
Yeah. So somewhere in between creating a fabricated scenario like what you've mentioned and saying, look, I just really don't want to talk to you right now, there's a polite
middle ground.
To do it.
Well, this one drives me crazy because people are using this language more and more now.
Mm.
You know when someone says to you, I reached out, instead of I called you.
Try to make contact.
I tried to reach out to you. Now, I've used this a couple of times, and it obviously comes from the Diana Ross song. So,
reach out and touch somebody's.
Now, not every
somebody's what?
Somebody's hand.
Oh.
You thought it was someone's else.
You
something
were going somewhere else. Yeah.
Now, when people say this, I understand reaching out as if, for example, like you haven't spoken to someone for a long time, and you thought you needed to repair a relationship, and then you reach out to them. But if you're just calling because there's a commercial transaction in discussion, that's not reaching out. That's calling.
I don't like it in terms of the fact that it's like it's of the same kind of lingo as like super concerned.
Yeah.
Like I was just reaching out.
Mm-hmm.
It also implies like this gesture of friendliness, but also like a gesture of like I reached out. Like I try to help your life get better.
So virtuous.
It would have improved your life if I had have reached you. But like aside from the fact that I associate that term with a certain type of person, it doesn't really faze me that much.
But I reached out and haven't heard back yet. That usually means I forgot you asked me to do that until this minute. that's the truth of it. I never got your email. How often do you get that from people? Or it went into my spam folder.
You do, but that does actually happen. It's the most frustrating thing in the world.
I know.
When you've been waiting for something or thinking someone's not getting back to you, and then after a while you search your spam folder or whatever else, however, wherever else it might be, and you find a mail you've been needing for a week.
And you feel really bad about it.
Yeah, it actually does happen. But most of the time, that's a bunch of BS that the person hasn't
Then there's this one,
your mail.
Which Sia's guilty of all the time.
Being fabulous? What's wrong with that?
No, no, no. Just a gentle reminder.
But
at the same time, how else do you say to somebody, hey, I wanted to I'm sorry to be a pain in the ass. I don't mean to, like, nag you. I really don't. But, like, please stop forgetting about
just
this.
Just a gentle reminder.
You could
reminder.
Just say that. You could be like, I don't mean to nag you, and I'm sorry if I'm being a pain, but this is important. Please remember.
Mm-hmm. I'd respond to that immediately. And then there are a couple of these. It's really, really interesting. This is Mfundo, who always sends us good stuff. He says, hashtag, let's be honest. Sometimes when someone goes through a hard time, we say, we feel their pain. Most of us say that to make the victim feel good and absolutely never been through that particular problem. And he's right. Like,
yeah,
I feel your pain.
I use that not – I don't say that to someone when something like a discectomy is happening. I use it for like, oh, I got stuck in traffic or I got like $1,000 fine and I didn't know my tail light was out. Then I'll be like, oh, yeah, I feel your pain. Or like, oh, I hate it when Nando's take too long or whatever else brand. That for me is one that I throw in lightheartedly. I don't think it's a great deception of our time. You didn't really feel my pain when I went through my divorce?
Exactly. GZ said, hashtag, let's be honest, I'll invite you for a braai, is a usual. We covered that the other day.
Oh, yeah, we'll get together for a dinner or something when we never will.
That's
a good one.
It's the extension of let's do coffee.
It's in the same family. It's like, I must give you a shot. We must get together sometime and catch up. Never. I wish that the 5 years I didn't speak to you had been 15 years. I'm so sorry that I've run into you. It was awkward and it interrupted my conversation. And I hope I don't see you for another 12 years.
And then this one, which is terrific. This is from @lowercase_v. No offense, but before someone says something really offensive.
Which means, like I'm about to say something offensive. I just want to get everybody ready.
Ooh, yeah, horrible.
Mm.
All right, so those are a couple of examples. And if you have some, you know what to do. Send them to us. Hashtag let's be honest. We don't always say what we mean. And if you think about it, can you really trust other people to tell you exactly how it is when you hear things like this every day? Coronation, which is an authorized financial services provider, they're obviously all about how trust is earned, and trust is built one word at a time. So let's just be honest. If you can think of any more examples, you don't mean what you say, or where other people say things that irritate you because you can tell they're not being honest, send us a voice note, WhatsApp 0797482090, or you can connect on social media. Use the hashtag Let's Be Honest, and we'll include them for tomorrow, like we just did. And if you missed anything, you can find all the podcasts on cliffcentral.com. Do that and get involved and make sure that you're part of it today.
Magnet Seminar with successful multimillionaire Chad Engel is coming to Joburg.
So that Chad can continue being a multimillionaire with your help.
Learn Chad's money magnet secrets to attract wealth.
Secrets like attracting money with pricey seminar tickets and a 6-book series.
It's difficult to trust nowadays. At Coronation, we believe that without honesty, there can be no trust. That's why when it comes to investing your money, we take everything into account, the seen and unseen. Ask your financial advisor about Coronation or visit our website for more information. Coronation. Trust is earned. Coronation is an authorized FSP.
Yes, cliffcentral.com on a Wednesday morning just after 7. So, we've got an interesting thing coming up a little later on. That's Mate Okaba, who's with the Association for Communication and Advertising. You know, we're talking about communication. Would you or someone you know like to be a beneficiary of one of 20 copywriting bursaries to be provided through an industry initiative? Well, listen up, because the official industry body for the advertising profession, the ACA, has secured funding towards providing 20 academic bursaries to prospective students looking to enter the world of copywriting.
Yo, it's important, eh?
We need good copywriters. You've done this before.
Oh, man. Copywriting is a big thing for me. Like, I don't know if anyone knows or cares, but I'm a professional in the advertising
and marketing. Well, tell us,
a professional in the advertising and marketing industries. My background, I'm a creative strategist, conceptual creative strategist and a creative director. So I will lead teams of people. But I came up as a copywriter. Right. I studied journalism. Woo! Then I got a degree in advertising with copywriting and art direction as specializations. And I worked in magazines for 8 years. And then I've worked in ad agencies, and I consult to brands and ad agencies. So if anyone needs your brand spanked in the ass, I'm your guy. But I've always stayed very involved with my previous varsity where I studied, and I go back and I give lectures. I've done a valedictorian speech there. And the copywriting group used to be an equal third of the different of each year. In terms of the specialities people study. And I went to literally it used to be a lecture hall full of 40 or 50 kids when I would first go give these guest lectures 10, 12 years ago. And I went and did one recently at the Joburg campus, which I hadn't been to in a while. And there was the copywriting group for the year was 8 students, and 3 of them didn't make the lecture.
Oh, my God, no!
3 of them didn't make the lecture. So we're not putting qualified copywriters out into the market. Sure. Also, in the ad industry, young people are applying for copywriting jobs when they are not copywriters. People think that anyone that does anything to do with writing in their mother tongue is copywriting, and it isn't. Creative writing, blogging, journalism, these are not being a person that can spell, these are not necessarily copywriting. Hmm. So it's an art form. Copywriting is not writing an article that's as informative as possible. It's about writing the best single sentence you possibly can.
Wow.
So
I
opened the sluice gate.
No, it's my profession.
All right,
and it's it's a dying art form.
You know what?
People misconceive what it actually means.
Stand by, because we'll get into this. All
good.
Right. We'll get to the meat of this thing. Now, yesterday we were talking about the whole Kardashian clan because OJ is now tweeting, and he brought up that Khloe is not his daughter.
Please follow him on Twitter, Gord. I know you don't have a Twitter account.
I refuse to go on Twitter, but I've been following the people posting stories about the highlights.
Here's a synopsis. 71-year-old who's been in prison, so away from technology, has now just
started
discovered
making
Twitter
videos and stuff. I've
wants
seen.
To be cool.
Yeah, and also wants to knife people in their DMs.
Right.
Yeah, if he starts getting knife ads, although he probably talks about knives enough in open for that to also not be weird.
But Kanye West is interesting to us because he's now got this church that he put together. Sia was telling us about this. They go out into the bush somewhere in the mountains in California, all the Kardashians, and then they do these ceremonies where Kanye is the high priest. And they basically use his songs as the hymns
Yeah.
So they sit and kumbaya around the campfire singing Kanye right. songs.
Yes. And this is a new cult that they've started. It was actually brought up by somebody on the WhatsApp line yesterday. But it's just fascinating if you haven't seen.
The actual Kardashians and Kanye himself have started this, or yeah. weird fan loons have started this?
No, Kardashians yeah. called, themselves.
They call it a Sunday service. It happens every single week. Kanye puts together a choir. They're all draped in these robes. And then they have a congregation that comes in.
Do
and
they worship sing. Jesus or Kanye?
I think there's a very hard fine line tell, between yeah. the two.
It's hard to tell. They could be the same thing.
You know, he has like the song Jesus Walks.
I believe in Kanye.
And so when you sing Jesus Walks, are you singing just the Kanye song? Or are you singing to Jesus? I don't know.
Well, here's...
The little Lord Kanye lay down in his bed.
Here's Jesus Walks. Listen to how he's redone this. This is for the Sunday service week. By the way, do they all wear these white outfits?
Oh, it changes.
Describe the outfits.
Week by week.
It looks like overalls.
Like work overalls.
Yeah, like the EFF wear in Parliament.
Oh, but white.
And hats of some kind.
This has to be a piss take.
No, really. And it's all the Kardashians and a whole lot of black dudes.
And they're in the wilderness.
Yeah. So he's reworked it to be like a hymn. And they all get together and sing this. So great. I love these Kardashians. They're so bomb crackpot bomb. Crazy. Jesus walks. Jesus walks. Jesus walks with me. Jesus walks. Is it in a tent or is it just out in the field?
See, it sounds intense.
Sounds intense. Okay, cool. Some are literally outside, and then sometimes Kanye has a feeling that he wants to set the mood. So he'll be in a draped or tented area where there's just like arbitrary lighting, like purple lighting, just green lighting.
Yeah.
Just because, of course.
Now they're all wearing, I suppose they're like, it's almost like canvas fabrics, and there's a band, and there's a trumpeter, and there's the Kardashians, and they're running around, and
and because they're the Kardashians, a lot of high profile people are starting to now attend
right.
these Sunday services.
Oh,
as
it's
well.
Gonna be the hippest thing you can possibly do.
Yeah,
it's like those Rivers churches and Hillsong and shit. Like, there's nowhere better to pick up women, apparently.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
I know from my douchier mates.
All pick up Jesus.
And by the way, they've got Rob Kardashian there as well, who's the biggest loser in the world. But I suppose they have to include him. I thought about him the other day. I thought, you know, all his sisters are so successful. And by successful, I mean they all have their own businesses and they don't need anyone else. But he still really needs the family because he can't do anything on his own. He hasn't got his thing yet.
Mm.
You know, Kim had the sex tape and Khloe and Courtney did those TV shows and the mom is the momager.
And Kylie's a billionaire.
Kylie's got the fashion stuff going.
The makeup.
And, yeah, the makeup. Kendall, what's Kendall's thing again?
Kendall's a model.
Model. But Rob, what's he got? Nothing.
Posting revenge porn.
So, one of the podcasts revenge. That I listened to, someone was talking about how Kim Kardashian is actually working on some pretty like legitimately noble charity. Like
no,
she's
is.
Working on some, not like UNICEF ambassadoring.
No, she's
lip
becoming a lawyer,
bullshit.
And
she's fighting for people who helped me here. That
her
main cause.
They've been wrongfully accused, and they've been put in prison.
People have been incorrectly imprisoned, and like I'm about it. Like if you want to become the most famous person in the world by sex tapes and bullshit and vacuous and celebrating all the worst things about consumer culture. Like, I'm for capitalism before I get Gareth's backup. Uh-huh. But vacuous consumer culture is the ugly side of it. Like Jordan Peterson explains, it's not a perfect system. It's just the best system we have. Yeah. They are everything that's wrong with a world that can cater or over cater to its people. But if that's a conduit towards getting innocent people out of prison and she wants to, okay, I've made my hundreds of millions or billions or whatever it is. Mm. I'm the most famous person ever and I'm going to spend the second half of this career using my power to do stuff like that, then by all means, make your sex tapes, make your crap pop singles, sell your shitty products, and when you're loaded, do something like that. So I've got a newfound respect for her that I never had before.
Cool. Yeah, I think so too. I said this the other day. I mean, I've always been right up front when it comes to being rude about the Kardashians. I'm right there, man. I think that they're vacuous and vapid people. But if she's doing good work for people who can't speak for themselves, and if she can use her fame for good, I'm a massive fan of that. So
oh, anybody.
You knock yourself out.
Take 5-10 years building an empire based on bullshit and then use it for good.
Yeah, good for her.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's changed my opinion a little bit of her. It changed my opinion a bit of her, so that's nice.
Got to quickly tell you that we have got first-hand encounters of the incredible world of human trafficking in our new series.
Dude, dark as you like.
Ooh. So brutal, degrading human trafficking stories in the podcast, which is, of course, called Humans for Sale. You need to go and listen to it. Host Hlubien Boyer-Arnold speaks to two survivors who share their tales of the crime.
That's one I want to and don't want to listen to at the same time, because that's going to be hectic.
Well, one of these people is a victim of slave labor trafficking, and exploitation, and the other was groomed into illegal gambling and the adult sex industry. It's inspiring to listen to how both have triumphantly endured and have moved onward into the future with hope. And gripping doesn't even begin to describe it.
Jeez, dude.
You want to listen to download and pass on to your friends, Humans for Sale. It's a 6-part series, so it's quick. You'll be over before you even know that you got into it. 6-part podcast series on human trafficking by Hope Risen, and it's brought to you by Pembani on cliffcentral.com.
When's that out? It's out already.
It's out already.
Nice. Yeah, it's quite chilling to listen to these two people. It's Moses and Cindy, who are speaking about what happened to them. And Cindy was like roped into the gambling world and then got addicted to drinking as well. And she just talks about how she made it out of that. And Moses, on the other hand, was one of the many, many people who come from another country and came into South Africa legally to work. And he was working on someone's private property. This person ended up confiscating his documents, so his ID, etc., etc., and ended up keeping Moses on his property, you know, against his will.
Oof.
So, you know, human trafficking is not only happening at airports for models who were caught into a web of lies. It could literally be happening in your neighbor's yard right now.
I've got a friend who, she's a bit wayward, a lovely girl, but a bit wayward, and she's been involved in some shady things, and like, for example, found herself needing to work in a strip club despite not like really wanting to, but she was okay with it, and she's had some difficult times, but she narrowly escaped. If her story is entirely true, because it might be a little embellished, but let's assume it's not, she was nearly trafficked and had to like escape, waking up feeling a little bit lightheaded in a completely different place than where she started. You know, you're working in the strip club and then you start feeling a little unwell and you go to have a lie down and then you wake up and like there's a dispute about paperwork at the Mozambican border and you're why am I in a bucky and who are these people?
Oh my God.
Yeah. How
crazy.
And then you have to do a little moor stripping at the border so that you make a scene and the South African, you know, authorities there get involved, but everyone's been a bit paid, so trying to find someone to help you. It sounded really, really nasty, and it sounded like she just got away from it, so it can happen just like that.
Well, you've just got back from Amsterdam, and Gord definitely enjoyed the Amsterdam trip, and in New York they've actually just passed a bill, this kind of links to Kim Kardashian as well, to decriminalize marijuana and expunge, listen to this, 900,000 arrests.
But this is actually interesting, because I was discussing this with a friend, literally just, it's been such a couple of days for the Bader-Meinhof complex. Every time anything that I'm thinking about or talking about in this last few days that I haven't thought about or talked about in a while is like now popping up all over the place.
Just explain the Bader-Meinhof
it's where
complex
you
for
become,
those
it's,
people who
it's
don't
it's
know.
Where you discover a new thing, or you have something explained to you that you haven't understood before, you become aware of a new word, or you hear
and
of,
suddenly it's everywhere.
And suddenly you've spent, let's say, I'm 37, but let's say you've spent the first 30 years of your life having never heard of duck-billed platypi. You didn't know it existed. You didn't know what it was. You never heard the word before. And your mate goes duck-billed platypus. And you're like, what the fuck are you talking about? And for the following week or two, you're going to see them absolutely everywhere. So become very sensitive. It seems almost like it's supernatural, but it's actually subconsciously you become very sensitive to this new information you have. But
and it also has to do with the virality of social media, because when people do discover something new, and when there's news about a specific topic, now it just goes further and wider than ever.
Yeah, but like just very quickly, a friend of mine did a drawing a few years ago, and I thought about it like 2 days ago, and then she posted a repost of it on social media, like, hey, throwback to 3 years ago when I did this drawing. And I'm like, dude, I thought about that for the first time in years, literally yesterday. Then my buddy Gumpy wanted to know if I had the picture of the New York fireman we went to meet in New York, and I was like, dude, I thought about that today, and I haven't for 2 or 3 years since the trip. Anyway, you were mentioning
the New York lawmakers who are going to pass a bill.
Yes, I was having a discussion and asking if a law is in place and people break that law and they go to jail for breaking that law, they've legitimately broken the law and they've legitimately been sentenced, mm-hmm. regardless of your opinion of marijuana legislation. Right. At the time of being sentenced, it was illegal and you had broken that law. Mm-hmm. Do they go back when they now make it unillegal, and is it now... do they reverse pardon the people that did that crime? Like, if suddenly...
do they grandfather them into amnesty?
Do you get amnesty for committing a crime that was a crime at the time you committed it, but now it's no longer illegal? So you're saying they're expunging squillions of criminal records. Are those criminal records to do with weed now that they're making decriminalizing weed?
Well, by definition, and thanks to Google, expungement is in the common law legal system, an expungement proceeding is a type of lawsuit in which a first-time offender of a prior criminal conviction seeks that the records of that earlier process be sealed, making the records unavailable through the state or federal resources.
Well, here's the governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, talking about what he's going to do.
When it was clear that they didn't have the votes for the legalization, then we went to decriminalization, which is very important. I proposed it in 2013. To me, it was an obvious act of justice, because everybody will agree that it's been the black and brown community that has been disproportionately affected by enforcement, which is a statement on the entire criminal justice system manifested in marijuana, and end the injustice for the black and brown community where you have stereotyped and tarnished people's lives with these convictions. Hmm. As I said, 6 years I've been trying to get it done. We got it done, and it's a great step forward.
All right, so 900,000 arrests are going to be expunged. Wow. So in other words, if you had it on your record that you had been arrested for marijuana possession, that will now be wiped out, which is good.
Yeah, let's see.
I don't see how this should follow you around.
I just want to, like, because they've got various rules in they've got various rules in various states in America that are different. But I know in some states, I don't know if it's nationwide. Maybe Gareth can inform us. But, you know, you've got a 3 strikes rule. So, like, if you commit a weed misdemeanor or whatever, and you get caught three times, they give you a massive sentence or a life sentence, even though it could be 3 small crimes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You have the 3 strikes rule. So you might find someone that's in jail. And also sometimes the judges are just harsh, and you might find someone who's doing 5, which is 5 too many, or 40 years in prison for purely weed-related offenses, probably become a proper hardened criminal because of your time in prison. Do they then say to that person, hey, the shit that you've been, that you're 8 years into a 20-year sentence about, is no longer a crime. You are we're not going to pay you compensation because you went to jail for it when it was a crime, but you can now go. Because that, imagine being in jail for a crime that's no longer a crime.
Mm.
Like, I did something that used to be illegal. I don't know. They've got to let people out, man. If their whole criminal record and everything they're in jail for is to do with weed, and they didn't, like, kill someone while stealing weed, let them out.
Yeah, I agree.
And then in California news, we've discussed before that California police have been using drones.
California, there's news about it. On the internet and magazines. In the papers and radio.
That's right.
They keep it newsing.
I'm actually not mad at that. That is really smart.
Welcome everybody to the world.
Okay, Tupac. You've lost. No.
Well, I was going to rap about how you can get your facts from the newspaper.
We've discussed before that California police have been using drones. Now, it's the beginning, folks. California police are using robots, and they've been experimenting with robots as part of their police force. So this is happening in the Huntington Park Police Department. They've launched... Are you laughing at the name Huntington?
Just imagine the police testing their drone technology, and they're like, please pull over the vehicle. No, what are you doing?
We're using our drone.
Yeah.
You are so... Just,
so literal.
There's a pun in any and
it's
everything
not a pun,
for you.
It's just... Funny.
They've started using this egg-shaped robot named, quite original, RoboCop. So this robot is equipped with 360-degree camera vision, which can live feed back to the department.
I had an egg-shaped robot once. Didn't have any cameras, but I had an egg-shaped robot.
I'm not going to go down that road with you, Gord. But check this out. It's now patrolling parks.
Oh, it looks like a small spaceship.
It's properly patrolling
parks. It's like R2-D2. Yeah, it looks like big R2-D2 or small SpaceX rocket.
And so far, they say it's been patrolling these parks for the past couple of weeks, and it's been helpful so far in just being able to feed concise information back to the department. I say it is a little...
So it's a spying robot that walks around amongst people, harvesting information to encroach on their privacy.
Well, if you put it that way...
Such a weird thing going on. I don't know if you've been paying attention to this Trump accuser, this woman who's... she's the one who's written a book. And in the book, she says that Donald Trump made inappropriate moves on her.
Is that the one where the president says, she's not my type? Yeah. Did you hear that?
Yeah. President Donald Trump says, she's not my type.
Yes, but that's a glorious answer. He's a total deuce. I know views on him are divided and whatever. I personally think he's the worst.
But listen to her.
Like, that is just such a classic answer, because if you're going to go into that world of people were being hit on and it wasn't appropriate and whatever.
Yeah, then you have to ask whether it's your type.
You're speaking
or not.
In that language. Like, that is it may not be true. It might be his usual brand of bullshit. But like, that is a fair thing. It's like, I didn't hit on her. She's what I go for.
She doesn't seem to be entirely stable. She was on with Anderson Cooper. Just listen to this and tell me if you think this interaction is normal. Right?
You don't use the word rape.
Sexual violence is in every country, in every strata of society, and I just feel that so many women are undergoing sexual violence. Mine was short. I got out. I'm happy now. I'm moving on. And I think of all the women who are enduring constant sexual violence. So this one instant, this one, 3 minutes in this little dressing room, I just say it's a fight. That way I'm not the victim. Right? I'm not the victim.
You don't feel like a victim.
I was not thrown on the ground and ravished. Which, the word rape carries so many sexual connotations. This was not sexual.
But I think most people think of rape as it is a violent assault. It is not.
I think most people think of rape as being sexy.
Mm. Let's take a short break.
Think of the fantasies.
Mm. We're just going to take a quick break.
Listen to this.
Awkward.
Yeah, it gets so weird because now she looks at him and she's just said people think of rape as sexy. So she's not a stable Mabel, but listen to this. Wait till what she does just before they go to break.
Take a short break.
Think of the fantasies.
Mm. We're just going to take a quick break. If you can stick around, we'll talk more on the other side.
You're fascinating to talk to.
Jeez. Oh,
my God, isn't that weird? And she looks at him like she's hitting on him. She's like, you're fascinating to talk to.
She sounds like she's either had dental surgery she's a little bit pissed.
Yeah, it's probably both. Look, the point is, so Trump says this woman's not his type. I don't know whose type she is, but as insensitive as that comment may be, I kind of have to ask if she's totally there.
Yeah, you can't judge a book by its... slurriness, but it's neither here nor there. We have no way of knowing. I just know that his chirp is classic Trump, and I know that she sounds a little bit like, she might have once or twice banged her head. what happened between them is not affected by either of those two observations.
That's true. All right, now we were talking just a moment ago about copywriting, and Gord is very passionate about this.
Yes.
And there are suddenly available to people who want to become copywriters. The Creative Circle, along with the ACA, have vested themselves with the job of finding and training some of the best copywriters. There's a huge shortage in copywriting, which Gord already referred to in the
advertising
a
quality industry. Shortage, certainly. Yeah.
Correct. And here to tell us some more about this, I'm really happy you're here, Mate. Mate Okaba is from the ACA, and it's a three-year academic bursary to help people who want to study copywriting at the AAA School of Advertising. This is a terrific, great initiative. Very, very nice. Applications accepted online via the ACA website opened on Monday the 24th of June, and they close on Sunday the 7th of July. So you've still got a bit of time. Mate, this is cool. Tell us about it. What did I leave out? What do we
need? You haven't left anything out. You're quite precise and quite correct. But what I would like to just, it has been an industry need for us to educate copywriters, to bring copywriters into the fold. And like your colleague has said, there's a shortage of quality copywriters. Yeah. You may have millions and millions of them, but the quality ones, there's a shortage of. Right. So it was important for us as the ACA, because we're an industry body, we need to ensure that the industry has the right resources in order to keep on making us greater. And copywriting is a very, very key part of the advertising value chain. But not just advertising. Digital, we need writers.
The whole communications business.
Yeah. Business, yes.
And it's a very conceptual field. It's not just about being able to spell a sentence more or less correctly. You need to have the idea.
Yeah.
Everything's collaborative, and it's not necessarily the responsibility for the idea doesn't live with one person, and the rest of the team is exonerated. And sometimes, you know, a visual person, a designy person can have a great idea for a conceptual route, but it is at least as much, if not more, the copywriter's responsibility to have ideas for other people to execute. People, there's a misconception. I was mentioning it earlier in a rant that I started about what a copywriter is. And so you were saying there's a lack of quality copywriters. I completely agree. It's very hard to hire a good young one. But there's also a misunderstanding as to what it is. People think any form of being able to more or less write and spell is copywriting. And it's not. Advertising, conceptual copywriting in advertising is a very specific art form, a very specific discipline. It doesn't mean while you were in high school, you wrote for housemusicislife.co.za and you used to be a blogger, so now you're a copywriter.
Yeah.
Or you've done, and no disrespect to people who've done this, but you've done like a BA English literature or you've done creative writing. You're not trained in advertising.
Yeah. And that is true. What you're saying is true. But also for me, I think it's a skill that can be learned. If you're a great storyteller.
Yeah, if you've got the talent to begin with, you can learn it.
Yes.
Similarly to graphic design.
Yeah.
If you're visually inclined, you can learn it. Some people, to be fair, will always be hopeless at it.
Yeah.
There are some people who will never be able to draw more than a stick figure.
Yeah.
But yes, anyone with the potential and the talent can learn copyright.
Right. But I'm interested in what Mate said here. So you say it can be learned. So this is a three-year academic bursary. So 3 years, you can really refine your skills. You can become competent in ways that maybe you weren't when you came straight out of school or straight out of some other qualification. And this is a AAA. You rate them, right?
They're a respected organization.
They are a respected school within our industry. And as the ACA, we used to own the AAA.
Yeah.
And we've sold the AAA, and Richfield Group now owns the AAA. So we know the history of the AAA. We know the courses that have the excellence of the lecturers at the AAA, the excellence of the courses at AAA. So it's a school that we trust that we can put younglings through it and they can make it at that school. And when they come out, they're a good product to provide this resource to the industry. But also what is critical for us is that the standard of copywriting has always been about English. English has been the language. Mm. But we look at, and I know you two white boys, you can't relate, but for us, Sia and I, when we see memes coming out, and it's memes in African languages that are so well written, that are so clever, that are so, they pull at the heartstrings at times.
That I'm actually coloured, by the way.
And it would be lost in translation if you were to try to explain it to
and
someone
to
else.
And to translate it.
Similarly to any language, really, there's humour.
Yes. And so now, we as the ACA are saying, let's hone those young people who can do
and
that.
And there's so much opportunity for them. I mean, if you can take, like, advertising, because there's more to just, like, so say, for example, you need to become an economic accountant.
Mm.
Yes, you need to know all of the maths, but you also have to be taught about the economy and about like the industry you're in.
Yeah.
So a big part of an advertising qualification is learning the whole of advertising and then also the discipline where you create output, so copywriting.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's, you can sit with some great artisan of a writer and practice writing for 3 straight years. You're still not going to know advertising when you come out. That's a real qualification. AAA is one of the 3 most respected schools. You know, it's a comprehensive 3-year course. I mean, if you're, especially if you're of color, but any young person who's got talent and has done that course will have plenty of opportunity in the ad industry.
Just another thing, it's not just the 3-year course, because we can't discount the young kids who don't have qualification to do a degree.
Okay.
There's also the diploma, the 2-year diploma. So when everybody's applying and we see what your qualification is in terms of, are you a degree student or are you a diploma
and
student?
And there's opportunity for everyone.
Yes. So we want to make it equal and fair for everybody. Everybody has a chance to actually come and participate and be part of this initiative. So as they apply on the website, we are going to assess those applications from a writing perspective, from a qualification perspective, and say, okay, these... we can see in their motivations, in their applications, they actually fit within the degree stream or they fit in the diploma stream.
And there's equal opportunity for both of those.
Yeah.
That's great. I mean, that's brilliant. But what do people have to do? What kind of people are you looking for and how do they apply?
Basically, you go on to the acasa.co.za. And there's a tab for bursaries. You go into the bursaries and you apply. There's an application form. You fill in the application form. You put in the motivational documents that you're required to do. And as it closes, we are then going to then just people need to apply on the website. That's
right,
what they need.
It's ACASA, as Matis just said, .co.za. And if you want to go along, acceptance to the courses remains dependent on the results contained within the academic transcripts of those individuals applying for the bursary. So it's not just an open call.
Yeah.
You still have to be qualified to get in. And applications will be accepted online via the ACA website until the 7th of July. So get in there if you can. So copywriters, you basically need a bunch more of these people to do advertising better and to keep churning out really successful ads. By the way, the ACA... It's worth just mentioning what you guys do at the ACA. You're the official representative body for the communications and advertising profession, representing agencies in the profession, which at present constitutes 95% of South Africa's measured ad spend.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. We have a huge membership. We have 90% of the advertising agencies within the country are members of the ACA. So transformation is a big thing for us as the ACA, and education is the first stab at transformation and impactful and visible transformation you will see through education. So our education and training portfolio is very, very important in driving all these initiatives that will make an impact on the industry.
All right. Well, Mate, thank you for coming to tell us about this. And best of luck. ACASA. www.co.za if you want to go and find out more, and you can sign up. Then you'll help Mate and Gord, who are both like massively passionate about it.
I think it's really important. I mean, it's like it's a real problem in the industry, and it's something that's been bothering me for a few years.
Yeah.
I once spent a year failing to hire a copywriter because I just wasn't prepared to accept someone who wasn't. My criteria were young copywriter, 2 years experience working in advertising or media, and a qualification in copywriting.
Yeah.
And you get everybody that, again, creative writing from UCT, English Lit, 5 years of blogging, journalism. It's like, no, I need copywriters.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
Good stuff. Thanks, Mate.
Thank you.
Very good. Alrighty, it's almost 10 to 8. Gordo, what's your week looking like? What are you got anything exciting coming up?
My brew, I'm just getting back into training. I've got a boxing lesson coming up just now. I'm taking it lank easy. I'm trying to just get my momentum going back with dieting and training because that's my main focus. I mean, I've like got a plan to go to Australia and New Zealand in October, which is not finalized at this stage. But
I see you doing the boxing. Is that?
Dude, I love it. Hey, I absolutely love boxing, and I have done for a few years. But like on previous missions where I've lost large quantities of weight, it's mostly been focused around gym, which I also really enjoy. But when the exercise output is a byproduct of the activity for the sake of the activity.
Mm-hmm.
It adds, you know, I've got goals in boxing and I'm not going to go and fight people. I know I've touched on this in previous shows. I'm not going to go and fight people. The head injury wouldn't be worth it, even if that was my idea of fun. But I drill with my coaches and I spar with my coach. And it's nice to know that unless someone is in that tiny percentile of people that have got serious fight training and more than you, they are out there, but we're talking about 1% of 1% of people. You've got an 80% or better chance of mirroring someone that needs to be mirrored. Because 2 years of boxing and you are able to mirror 99% of all humans that might mess with you, no matter how big or scary they think they are. It's that other 1% that have been doing like Brazilian jiu-jitsu for 12 years that you don't know, mild-mannered Timmy from accounting, that'll break both your arms before you know you're fighting him. But like 99% of people, if they need a clap, will get one if you've been training boxing. So that's empowering, but I really just love the mobility, the strength, the feeling of mooring stuff. So I'm all about that. I'm all about getting my mojo rolling.
That's what happens when you're in hippo mode.
I'm back in hippo mode.
A few cool comments for this morning. This is from Wendell. Wendell says, just the hashtag, just be honest. He said, I'm not a racist, but that really irritates me.
Yeah, that is exactly like 100% of the time precedes a racist comment.
And also he says, sweet baby Yeezus doing this cult that he's doing now. Let's not forget, he said, the best way to make money is through religion. And remember, the church next to Ratanga Junction used to be called Dockside. It used to be a club.
I've jawled there during the Captain Beer days. Why do I have a feeling that I've jawled there with you?
It's possible.
You've jawled Dockside,
what
correct?
What was it called?
Yeah, we did a big...
I'm 100% convinced kind of I was your guest once. Or you were my... Yeah, you were FHM's guest or I was your guest at something at Dockside.
It's quite possible.
In the day...
Yeah. I feel like I'm missing out on
a massive nightclub, dude. Like, I think it was 2 or 3 stories. It was like more of its own sort of, it was its own like office park sized building.
It was a big warehouse.
And it was on, it was, there was, I don't know if it was on the water or if there was water near it.
No, there's the Ratanga Junction water park thing with all the rides and everything.
It was just a huge, trendy, douchey club with bad house music and hip people.
Yeah, I feel like that would mess you up.
Time of the Asian lettering / tramp stamp tattoo era.
Dr. Robin, the obstetrician, I have to keep thinking how to pronounce that word before I say it. Mm. It's still not natural.
We'll still stay your friends.
She says, listening to the Kardashian story reinforces my long-held belief that the gene pool needs some chlorine.
Yes.
Hardcore stuff from them.
Yeah, unless you take your shitty, trashy, vacuous poisoning society with your idiocy and then use it for good. For a couple of decades.
Gord, thank you for your cannabis chocolate that you've brought us.
Yes, it's a pleasure, guys.
It's going to be an interesting afternoon.
I promise you it's non-psychoactive. It might like help you realign your chakras and help you like get rid of joint pain, but it's not
I feel like I'll be lethargic.
It's not going to get you high.
And I don't like that feeling.
CBD oil, I know I bought some for myself. CBD oil is so expensive that in that little slab of chocolate, there's probably so little of it because otherwise that chocolate would have cost a lot more than it did. I ate two bars of that and I was absolutely fine. But that said, I was smoking hash joints the size of porn stars' dicks. Excuse my language.
Your videos and your photos say otherwise.
That was one day and night.
Okay.
And we sent, first of all, I didn't know how Rob was filming as much as he was, let alone that he was going to send that shit to everyone.
Actually, do you know who I want to hear from? Your friend.
Shanae.
I think she has many more stories to tell about you and Hyrule.
The thing with her, like, I would absolutely love that. The thing with her is that she's terminally shy. She's one of those people that is, like, very, very shy. And she would die right before going on radio.
But I understand that.
She'll spill the beans. Maybe she could write us an article.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We will see you tomorrow between 6 and 8 o'clock.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Everybody be good.
This is CliffCentral.com.